Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. That is going to be your savior this season. So save that number in your phone right now as Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369. You can text us, you can drop us your voicemails, anything you got for us on the Bulls that is going to be your key to this season, to surviving this season. So welcome back. A week off. Matt and I had differing schedules. Things didn't really work out. And let's be honest, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about either. So we're back here. Back to regular scheduled programming here on Mondays, five episodes a week. Matt, how are you? How is the mood?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, missed talking to you last week. Missed talking to our loyal Bulls Nation out there. I know we got some people on Twitter being like, where's Locked On Bulls this week? But, you know, I know you just had a crazy stretch with your new gig producing at 670 The Score. And as you mentioned, I moved apartments this past week. So move was fine. Move went great. Nothing broken, a couple of, you know, scratches, things that can be buffed out here or there, but digging the new neighborhood so far and just trying to, you know, stay afloat while going through a crazy stretch of the, you know, the sports calendar. Obviously, you know, we got a big Bears Monday night game coming up tonight. Me and my buddy Big Dave will be on the mics for that new project Hot Mic we're working on, so that should be fun. But Bears have not looked great. Certainly the offense has not looked great through the first couple of games, and my Cubs just lost four straight to the Cardinals, pretty much all but ensuring that they won't even make the wild card. So it's been a crazy sports week, but you know what I am looking forward to, man? It's crazy to think that after, you know, taking a week off, you know, like the dead September period of the NBA calendar year, as of today, we are a week away from media day. We are a week away from the official start of the 1920 season, man. I'm jacked.
I'm very, very excited, too. We've crawled our way here. It feels like in between the craziness of the offseason and free agency to now has felt like absolutely forever. So it's good to get basketball back here in about a week or so. I was going to say, what's the equivalent of a basketball team the way that the Cubs fell this past week? Five straight one-run games, losing six in a row. What's the equivalent in the NBA? Is that like losing four straight games on last-second buzzer beaters? Like, even that, I think, is...
I mean, just brutal. Just brutal. Four one-run losses at home. It's somebody put up a flowchart of the playoff odds of the NL Central teams that I saw on Twitter this morning. And at the beginning of September, or even like at the beginning of this Cubs homestand, their playoff odds were like 76-77%. And then after their loss yesterday, they had plummeted down to 2%. And somebody made a joke like, man, even Cedar Rapids wouldn't design a roller coaster with that steep of a drop off.
Honestly, if the Bulls went five straight games and lost by 1 point, five straight, I probably would be on the edge.
Well,
be close to the edge.
They had what, a 10-game losing streak at 1 point last season, but I'm pretty sure their margin of defeat was not 1 point on average in those 10 losses.
Let's hope for the sake of all the signings, the new guys too, that this season goes a whole hell of a lot different than it did last year. Speaking of new players and new season following here shortly in about a week or so, let's talk a little bit about Thomas Satoransky. We're going to catch you guys up on the things that we've missed, haven't talked about. So let's first start with Thomas Satoransky. I know the FIBA World Cup has been over for about a week now, but Thomas Satoransky, man, played really, really, really well in FIBA and pulled off two technically upset wins in their first round of play. Very, very excited, hopeful that the way he played in FIBA will translate over to the NBA.
Yeah, he was really impressive. I think for those Bulls fans who maybe weren't quite as familiar with his work in the NBA and the really strong season he had with Washington last year, because let's be honest, who was watching the Wizards last year? They were just as irrelevant and bad as the Bulls were, especially once they dealt with the full blow of the John Wall injury. But, you know, I think people were, of course, more excited about drafting a young point guard like Coby White, and people are still, you know, wondering what the deal is with Chris Dunn, not exactly sure where Satoransky was going to fit in. But, you know, I had thought from day one of signing him, and I think that you were pretty much on board with me and of the same mind, is that Satoransky would be this team's starting point guard. That, you know, they could say it's an open competition coming into training camp, whatever, whatever. But Satoransky, I think, had the best set of tools to complement the other players in that Bulls starting five that we know would be in that starting five, a.k.a. Wendell, Lowry, LaVine, and Otto. And I think that he proved some of that very much so in his performance at FIBA.
March 20th, 2019, I tweeted out, throw the bag at Satoransky this summer. So I am very happy that they signed Thomas Satoransky, or they signed and traded for Thomas Satoransky. The cool thing about this, too, I noticed that he had the second most assists per game in the entire tournament behind Dennis Schroeder, who's playing for Germany at 9.4 assists per game. But Thomas Satoransky had 8.5 assists per game in the eight games that he played. 15.5 points, 8.5 assists, 5.6 rebounds, nearly a steal a game, only turning the ball over 2.8 times. And he shot pretty good too, Matt. 45.7% from the field, 48.1% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. So that 48.1% from three, though, stood out massively on 3.4 attempts. If him combined with Otto Porter, and if Coby White figures it out, if Lowry Markin continue to hit the three, and Zach LaVine, like, the Bulls are going to go from having 0 3-point threats, which we just desperately were crying for last year, to 4 or 5 guys that can shoot above 36, 38%.
Yeah, and I think that that is definitely a big key. You mentioned the assists. He also, you know, whether it was in FIBA or he did have a couple of games where he turned the ball over a little too much for his Czech national team. But with the Wizards last year, one of the better assist to turnover ratios among guards playing starting 50 plus games in the entire league. The Bulls obviously love that, knowing that this young team was very turnover prone last season. And as you said, the 3-point percentage, because like we were sitting here trying to give Chris Dunn a little bit of credit to be like, well, he actually did, like, you know, notch up his 3-point percentage a little bit in his 18-19 season when he was on the court. But even still, I mean, it was not something that you could say this is reliable, which is why I think, you know, coupled with his low usage percentage, knowing that you want LaVine and Lowry for the most part taking the bulkier shots in your starting five, and even letting Otto shoot when he's open, hopefully seeing another step taken from Wendell on the offensive end. It's not like you are asking Satoransky to do everything, but it sure would be nice if he can, when playing off the ball and LaVine is running things or Lowry's running things, knock down open threes, because Chris Dunn has never been able to do that, especially when he's playing off the ball.
How long is it going to take Jim Boylan to realize he has all this 3-point shooting threats?
I don't know. Last year, Jim Boylan told us he wasn't sure how many 3-point shots his team should take, some, you know, a game. He said, I don't know, it's like probably somewhere between 20 and 40. I'm not really sure. He's like, I'm not a big numbers guy.
The one thing that I will like to see them do is sort of the play that LaVine did over the last 3 months of the season, where he was strictly driving to the basket or taking 3-point shots. Most of his shots came at the basket, but if that's the style Jim Boylan wants to play, I think that's going to be advantageous to guys like Otto Porter and even Thomas Satoransky, who, when Levine and Markkanen are getting mauled at the basket, they can kick it out and have competent role players to knock down those threes at a pretty decent clip. So I'm excited. The biggest question here for Thomas Satoransky, Matt, though, is he had a quote. This comes from Lucas Kuba, who follows, he covers all Czech players, so that's kind of cool, but he had a quote from Thomas Satoransky. It said, "Now I feel like I need a month-long vacation after talking about the 16 games he played in 33 days. Says, but of course there won't be time for that. The Bulls told me to take as many days off as I need in order to regenerate my body. At the same time, I have to be there as soon as possible to get acquainted with the Bulls and with Chicago. In addition, I need to find a place to live." Do you have any type of concern with him starting the season, not needing to find a place, but playing 16 games in 33 days and then going straight into an NBA training camp, and we're, what, a month and change from opening night?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bulls' first game of the season is actually October 23rd, if I am remembering the schedule correctly. So that's exactly 1 month from today. And then, of course, you got five preseason games before that in early October. I did see this. I think actually somebody, one of our loyal listeners even, I can't remember who, and I apologize, but somebody tagged us commenting underneath that quote from Satoransky saying, you know, "I hate this. He went and played for his national team and now is coming into training camp just completely worn out." And so I could certainly see that side of the argument, because we were saying, in a way, maybe it's good that for some reason USA Basketball just completely ignored Zach LaVine and did not give him an invitation, when in reality, maybe they should have, considering how weak that final 12 roster ended up being and the fact that the USA couldn't even win the tournament. But the silver lining there is, well, Zach had a 0% risk of injuring himself in non-Bulls-related basketball by now participating. And Thad Young being invited to camp and then eventually getting cut, same thing for him. We now have a healthy Thad Young because he is an aging veteran who is coming off of like how many consecutive seasons of 80-plus games played. So I get the concern with Satoransky here, especially when you hear him say something like that. But, I mean, these are top-tier, like, you know, run like machines, professional athletes, the most in shape people on the planet. I think Satoransky, with that quote, like, people are going to take it and run with it and maybe panic a little too much, just because the guy was talking immediately after that tournament ended. So, yeah, he's going to need a little bit of time to recharge his batteries. But am I really concerned about him playing those minutes in that tournament when we do have a month before the season actually starts? No, I'm not that concerned.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Jim Boylan, especially the entire coaching staff too, gets it. They've played all these games already before heading into training camp. And same thing with preseason. I think all of that, he's going to consider that, monitor the minutes. And the biggest goal for this entire Bulls team is to get to opening night fully healthy. I mean, technically, you can't get fully healthy at the start of the season with Hutchison out, and we don't know what the timeline for him is. But pretty much everybody fully healthy, right? Your main pieces. So I think for Thomas Satoransky, I don't think there is, I'm in agreement with you too. I don't think there is any type of panic. Maybe in the first 15 games, if we see a dip off in his production, he isn't playing well, he looks tired, then we maybe have that conversation. But I think for now, I think if anything, it gave Thomas Satoransky a confidence boost, right? I mean, having to lead the Czech team, leading the team in points, leading the team in minutes, leading the team in games, like all of that should give him a major confidence boost coming into this season. New team, new face. This could be good for his career.
Yeah, I think absolutely will be. And I think the other thing the Bulls fans should consider and keep in mind, if he does maybe, you know, struggle out of the gate a little bit and maybe isn't blowing us out of the water with his performance and his stat lines every night, maybe before assuming, oh man, he shouldn't have played in the tournament, he's exhausted coming into the season, he's not fresh, some of it could also just be taking time to build some chemistry with a bunch of new teammates. And hopefully having Otto Porter Jr. here in Chicago will help some of that, because the two did play together for a stretch in Washington, and maybe that will help develop some of the chemistry, because Otto's been around a little bit longer and Otto's already had some chance to develop some chemistry on and off the court with the most important players on this roster. But still, I would say if it isn't just all amazing with Satoransky as your starting point guard in the first 10 to 15 games, as you were saying, I wouldn't say blame all of that immediately on him playing in this FIBA World Cup tournament. I think some of that is just let's give a little bit of time for this team to, you know, find its identity, because this team had no identity last year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there's a clear difference between him looking tired and physically fatigued and him just trying to figure out how to play and have chemistry with some of these other guys. So I'm in agreement with you, too. I think it's all going to be what we see in the first 15 to 20 games will really tell if this kind of affected him. If anything, I'm taking the positive from it. Let's transition here and let's go to Coby White. Want to talk about him real quick, and then we're going to get to Sports Illustrated's top 100 player list that they released, and also ESPN released theirs this morning, 100 through 51. A few Bulls players named there as well, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But before we do that, a long day at work, still stuck at the office. I had a long day this morning. I shouldn't say long day, I should say long morning. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's the DoorDash app. Download that right now. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order of $15 or more. So, Matt, a little bit of a piece in the Tribune talking about Coby White and just 10 things you may or may not know about him. Was pretty cool. I love these little pieces about him, and I think just getting to know him more, and Bulls fans already seeming to fall in love with him. The biggest thing I took away from this, outside of a certain prediction he decided to make, was the fact that he's been getting a lot of mentorship from Ryan Arcidiacono. Already clearly one of the reasons why the Bulls decided to keep him around long-term, besides just what he was doing on the floor. Very, very coaching mentality from Arcidiacono.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's going to be Jim Boylan's line of communication to try to, you know, form a relationship and that mentorship with Coby White, because Boylan knows that, you know, all of his shtick, prepare the child for the road
My
and all that kind of stuff.
Is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child.
He also knows the importance of young players, the youngest players and the incoming players and rookies like Coby. Also, not only need strong coaching from coaches, but strong coaching from older, more mature players. And we all know how much Boylan adores Arcidiacono, and the fact that, you know, I'm sure Boylan had a big say in the Bulls bringing him back on that 3-year deal for $9 million, considering that what RG played the most games of anybody on this Bulls roster last year, and for as bad and as ugly as things got, certainly was always giving his all in the court, and actually at times looked like the best point guard on that roster, which again last season wasn't saying much, but it's still true. And actually a fun quick tangent, I was actually hanging outside my place just the other day over the weekend, and there's this taco joint called Taquito on Division Street in my new neighborhood, like South Wicker Park. And as I was walking to my front door, which is right next to this restaurant, I see a guy. I'm like, that kind of looks like Archie. And then I pass going by another time, and I'm like, that's definitely Archie. He was like sitting having lunch with his girlfriend and a couple other people. So I just, you know, I didn't want to be like too interruptive of his lunch, but I just like, you know, peeked my head over and I was like, hey, Ryan, just wanted to say, like, you know, congrats on the contract, man. I'm glad you're still here. He's like, thanks, dude. Appreciate it. So, I, you know, personally, I think having Archie around to mentor Coby is going to be a very good thing. I would hope that when it comes to Boylan and his rotation, we get to see more of Coby White than Arcidiacono, but especially, you know, for Bulls fans who are just expecting the moon and the stars and everything from Coby out of the gate, don't be surprised if you actually see a little bit more of Archie playing off the bench than you do Coby White. I think they're going to bring him along slowly, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, and getting remembered too, like with Ryan Arcidiacono, play is different than teaching or coaching or mentoring like he's doing right now. Like, the dude was on a national championship
Correct,
team,
yeah.
right? So if anything, that yes. type of stuff is going to seep off onto Coby White. That's a good thing. And we talked about it too throughout the entire season last year. We said we won't be surprised if multiple teams are going to be interested in Arcidiacono. He plays exactly like half the coaches in this league like to see guys play. 120% effort, diving out of bounds for balls, just doing all of the right things. So I like that. I like that Coby White gave him a shout out too, and specifically from the quote he said, we've got new pieces, the rookies that came in, and then we got Thad, Tomas, Luke Kornet, So we've got a good amount of new pieces coming in. It's been big for me to learn from these guys. Zach LaVine, Thaddeus Young, Otto Porter, Archie Diacono. Arch has helped me big time. He's so smart. He knows the game. He's always given me pointers at the point guard position that will help me out. So that's cool. More minds in that point guard carousel, the better. I think five guys now that the Bulls have is more than enough to figure something out. We can figure something out this year. But let's get to his prediction, though. What's going on with this whole Bulls playoff prediction?
I mean, we heard similar things from the Bulls last year. And I get that it's nobody's coming into a season, even if you are rebuilding, even if your team and your organization is tanking, saying, all right, the goal is to lose a bunch of games this year. Players and coaches don't operate that way. They are in this sport to win. So as much as I thought that the playoff predictions last year, whether they were coming from fans or people within the organization, were absolutely ridiculous. Because remember, it was Wendell, right? Our big pick rookie last year, saying, yeah, like I think this team has enough talent to make the playoffs. And here Coby White, a year later, is basically echoing those statements from Wendell a year ago. And guess what? 22 wins? Far, far, far from making the playoffs last year. I think we all would agree that Coby's prediction, if you want to call it that, is a little less insane than predicting the same thing to happen last season because of the maturation, hopefully, of some of the young talent and some of the additions of veteran pieces to the roster that complement the roster pretty well. And I get that Kobe's excited about being on a team that's hopefully competitive. And you know who else is really hoping that this team is competitive and playoff bound? Zach LaVine. A guy who continuously got disrespected on all sorts of the offseason lists that were happening this summer, talking about the best and most overvalued or underrated players in this league, and the fact that LaVine consistently gets no respect, and points to the fact that it's because he hasn't won. So, you know, I'm not upset about the optimism at all, despite thinking myself the Bulls are probably going to fall a little bit short of the playoffs again this year. If they exceed expectations, including my own, and do make the playoffs, that's awesome. And I'm fine with Coby White saying that's our goal.
Biggest thing here is going to be able to survive to December. We talked about the schedule the first 6 weeks. Getting through November fully healthy and also somewhat optimistic, not going on a 7 or 8 game losing streak throughout that month is going to be tough. But I think, if anything, they pull off through these first 30 games and they're on a better start than they were last year, I think we could really legit start talking about playoff contention through the All-Star break. I think these first 30 games are going to be super critical for this Bulls team. They get off to like a 5-25 start or a 10-20 start. It's not going to be the greatest thing in the world. And I think the chemistry, there's going to be a lot more problems and issues we'll be talking about besides just the actual play on the floor. So, and I think Jim Boylan could have a maybe slightly positive impact, but I also think he can turn it around and have a huge negative to this team. So I'm curious what he's going to be able to do with playing Coby White, how many minutes he's going to play him, how he's going to do all of these rotations. I think that to me is the biggest mystery coming into training camp. But Wendell said the same thing, said that the Bulls were going to make the playoffs, was confident, and Denzel said it the year before. So third time's the charm.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Although, you know, I think it's certainly fair to expect that they get off to a better start through the first 25, 30 games or so as compared to last season. Because weren't they like 5-20 when they fired Fred? I'm pretty sure that was their record. Just terrible. You know, they started 3-20 the year before that. So to ask for something a little closer to 500 basketball is not outrageous. But, you know, Bulls fans also shouldn't start falling into the trap of the fool's gold if they do, in fact, start, you know, pretty hot out of the gate. Even while they're working on forming chemistry, the beginning of their schedule, like their first 5 games, is pretty soft. And there are Bulls fans when the schedule released saying, oh my gosh, like the Bulls can start 5-0 or 4-1 or definitely 3-2. But then, as you mentioned, that November part of the schedule is just absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. So, you know, that'll be a big test to see just how for real this team is and whether or not they're ready to take that leap. And as you said, Boylan will have a big part of that, either positive or negative. But And going back to your conversation about the three-point shooting and the point guard spot and, you know, who's going to be taking those shots and will we see more of them, that's where Chris Fleming is going to come in. And that's why I'm cautiously optimistic that this team is going to be a much better, much more efficient three-point shooting team than they were last year, because you saw what Fleming did to improve the Brooklyn Nets as a three-point shooting team in his tenure there.
It's true. We can't forget about the new coaching staff, too, at least a newly shaped coaching staff, and some of the main pieces being there newly hired too. So not only players, but coaches as well. Let's, before we get to the last thing, just want to remind people, 2 games against Detroit, 2 games against the Bucks, 2 games against the Trailblazers. You have the Lakers, you have the Hawks, the Rockets, the Nets, you have the Heat, and you have the Warriors, all in the month of November, It's going to be a tough stretch. Got to power through that without some major, colossal losing streak happening here in November, and I think the Bulls will be all right. Let's get to this last one, though. Let's get to this last topic. Sports Illustrated and ESPN dropping their top 100 players. Sports Illustrated's entire list is out right now, 100 through 1. Pretty good. I liked reading through a lot of those little player descriptions and paragraphs of why they slotted guys in different places. ESPN dropped their first half of theirs this morning, 100 through 51. So, Matt, let's start with SI, and then we'll compare the guys that have been released through ESPN so far. To my biggest surprise, the first guy on this list that I was not expecting to be at number 90 was Zach LaVine. How do you feel about LaVine being at number 90 on this list?
Yeah, I'm speaking of the LaVine disrespect that we were just touching on a moment
ago.
Absolute
slap in the face.
It's ridiculous. It is absurd to have LaVine at number 90 on that list. And my buddies Big Dave and John from Outsiders and I were talking about this on an Outsiders podcast last week, saying when you look at what LaVine produced last year, averaging 23 plus points, 4.5 assists, 4.5 rebounds, he was one of 10 players in the NBA to do that last year, and the other 9 were all perennial all-stars and also some MVP, like regular season MVP winners. And to have him be able to have that kind of production, and again, it goes back to what LaVine himself said, well, some of it is winning. A lot of it is winning. So guess what? I don't think between that and the Bulls having, what, 2 or 3 nationally televised games last year, not a whole lot of people saw Zach do what he did last year and make the big jump, being more productive, getting to the free throw line more consistently, and diversifying his offensive game, being a more efficient offensive player. A lot of people just didn't see that because a lot of people were ignoring the Bulls because the Bulls were atrocious. 22 wins atrocious. So I think that is a big reason why he is only at 90 on that SI list. And a lot of it also is attributed to the fact that as of right now, a lot of people, and you could say that it's unfair and you could say that it's untrue, see him as a one-way player who still doesn't play defense, who also doesn't, the age-old adage, like, oh, doesn't make his teammates better, or like people continue to call him a selfish ball hog kind of player who doesn't play team basketball. I think there are certainly issues and flaws in the logic of those arguments. And I mean, across the board, him at 90 is just, like you said, slap in the face.
Yeah, and I appreciate SI for at least throwing the fact in there too of like not totally dismissing the ACL too. I mean, we were, what, a season and a half out from his ACL? This is the first full season back from that. I do appreciate, too, them talking about him getting to the rim more often, getting to the best free throw lines, at least free throw attempts per game, being in the same conversations as guys like Jimmy Butler and DeMar DeRozan and Kemba Walker. The one thing that I feel like people kind of sideswipe LaVine for, and we talked about it a ton over the first season and a half he's played in a Bulls uniform, is the defense. I mean, there are times out there that LaVine looks like he has absolutely no clue or just no interest in playing defense. I'm hoping that'll change to at least something where it's not so sudden all the time. We've seen LaVine kind of out of place, big hole in the defense. But to me, I feel like people kind of use that as like this big blanketed argument to underrate Zach LaVine as a whole, or what kind of impact he'll have on this Bulls team. I think the turnovers hurt him too. This writer from SI brought up a good point about his turnovers, which his points per game kind of masked that because he was averaging 24 points per game. But the turnovers were a huge, huge deal. And we've talked about that before, but I'm shocked that he's at number 9.
Yeah. And I think you're going to see his turnovers go down this season if all goes according to plan, because he's not going to be asked to carry that big of a burden when it comes to ball handling and facilitating this offense. Satoransky is going to bring the ball up, and LaVine will bring the ball up at times. And, you know, that's what we keep hearing from the Bulls. Oh, multi-ball handler system is going to be great. How many nights last season did we have to watch LaVine do everything because Chris Dunn was either not on the floor or not efficient when he was on the floor? That's why you saw so many turnovers from Zach. He was, you know, just being asked to do everything and initiate the offense so much last season. Especially early on when he was without, you know, Markkanen, who missed the first 20 so games because of the elbow injury. I think you're going to see the turnover numbers go down this season from Zach. I think it's, you know, that and another efficient scoring season. And maybe if the Bulls are more looking like a potential playoff team, all of a sudden Zach's going to get a lot more attention. And I think a big part of that would be we'll see what this Bulls team looks like as we hit, you know, All-Star break in February. If the Bulls are semi-decent and Zach LaVine is balling out and hopefully maybe gets his first All-Star nod at All-Star Weekend here in Chicago, we might finally start to see some of that respect that it's not just Zach LaVine, the dunk champion hero from All-Star Weekend's past. He is a bona fide All-Star in, and you know, and his team's, you know, city is hosting things. That would be a huge get for LaVine finally getting some due credit.
The biggest thing for me now that, because you bring up a great point about his ball handling, and I think that's going to be as significant as it was in the games that he's played over the last two seasons. My thing is going to be late game, 5 minutes or less in the fourth quarter, within striking distance, both teams, 6-8 points. That's going to be where it's really going to come down to, is Zach LaVine this all-star type of player who can take over a game, or is he going to do things like he did early on in the season last year? Remember the game against Detroit? Didn't even give himself a shot to take the last shot of the game. Ended up fumbling the ball out of bounds. Same thing with the New York game, too, in the multiple overtime game, which was an absolute shit show. I believe that was in November of last year. But two turnovers in overtime, too, that kind of cost him. We saw this kind of all season long here and there from LaVine. So I think that's another thing, too, to keep an eye on, is how LaVine handles the ball in late game situations.
And actually, I saw a recent list about clutch shots, you know, score within, you know, 3 or 5 or whatever the cutoff was last season. And when LaVine got shots up, he actually hit them at one of the more impressive rates among, you know, big name stars in the league last year. His clutch shot percentage, I think, was somewhere hovering around 45 or maybe even 46%, which is pretty damn good in those clutch shot situations. But as you said, it was getting to actually having the opportunity to take those clutch shots and not turning the ball over. And whether it was a moment of panic or whether it was just, you know, headspace not in the right place, or the Bulls as a team did not have an efficient plan. And whatever it was, whether Fred or Boylan coming out of a timeout in a clutch situation like that did not have a great plan drawn up, maybe some of that fell on LaVine to create by himself, and things went awry and ended up being a lot of turnovers. But, you know, you are 100% right that a lot of those killer turnovers and the ones that I think really people see him as a turnover-prone guy, and these are such, you know, problematic turnovers, are because they would happen in those late-game situations. Hopefully we will see less of that this year.
In clutch times, this is from NBA Advanced Stats, in clutch time, Zach LaVine last year was in 31 games and averaged 42.3% from the field, 35.5% from three, and free throw percentage. Guess his free throw
good
percentage.
Good or bad?
You will never guess this.
Like 70?
In clutch time, bad.
Ooh. Ooh.
55.6% in clutch time. So that's going to be something else he's going to have to work on. Hit the free throw line a couple times. But yeah, Not too bad, though. 42.3%. We'd like to see that go up a little bit. Otto Porter was 46.7% for the Bulls. Lowry marking it at 50%, so that's good to see as well. But guys got to be better knocking down the threes in clutch time, and we'd like to see those numbers go up from Zach LaVine. But just real quick, ESPN had him ranked at number 55 on their list. This from Zach Lowe. So this is a huge year for Zach LaVine and Lowry Markkanen. If LaVine grows into more of an all-around player and not an empty calories hog, Chicago's ceiling and position in the trade market change. Damn, slight sideswipe from Lowe too there on LaVine. He says Markkanen should be good. He has a good stroke and some handle and vision, as well as a bit of a nasty streak. But this will be his third season. It's time for production to catch up with appearances. So interesting. So all around player, put Zach LaVine just outside the top 50. He was not ranked in ESPN's top 100 last year. So this is good. Good ups for Zach LaVine by ESPN.
Yeah. And I think that that is a bit more accurate than SI's ranking of 90. You know, maybe you could say there's a happy medium somewhere in there, and LaVine deserves to be not in the top 50 or just outside the top, maybe somewhere in the high 50s, low 60s, whatever. But I mean, I would say that 55 is way more accurate than 90, like way more accurate. And to, as you mentioned, to not even be ranked last year, which, you know, again, understandable. He only played half a year coming off an ACL, irrelevant Minnesota team the first few years of his career. And then, you know, a year one tanking rebuild coming off of, you know, coming into last year's rankings. Nice to see him, you know, make this big jump on ESPN's list, which the other interesting thing with comparing these lists is that Otto Porter Jr. did crack ESPN's top 100, but he was all the way up at LaVine's spot in the SI list on ESPN. Otto Porter was 90. And that was coming off of last year's rankings when Otto Porter was all the way at 38. So LaVine goes from being not ranked on ESPN's list all the way up to 55 because of the season he had last year. Otto Porter Jr. here comes in at 90 as opposed to last year's ranking of 38. And I think something that one of these ESPN writers who contributed pointed out when analyzing this list is that it's because a lot of very young players are in the back end of this top 100 list. Guys who are rookies, second year players about to play their second league or about to play their third season. There are a lot of young talent names on this list that people are expecting big things from. And maybe some of the mid-tier veterans that were on the back end of this top 100 list took a hit, because clearly Otto took a big hit.
Yeah, because Otto Porter is number 57 on the SI list. And it seems like...
Yes. The highest ranked Bull.
It's crazy. It seems like SI is very, very high on Otto Porter and what he's going to do for the Bulls this season. And a breakout in ESPN's a little bit more tentative on deciding on whether Otto Porter is the real deal or not. I thought this was interesting from SI, though, that they said there was only a dozen players that were 6'8 or taller last season to shoot 40% from behind the arc. Otto Porter was one of them. Porter at 41% for the year and 49% with the Bulls ranks among them. Some of those other guys include Myers Leonard, Gallinari, Davis Bertans, TJ Warren, Bojan Bogdanovic, Doug McDermott, Jamichael Green, Rudy Gay, Bialica, Mike Scott, and Carl Anthony Towns. So pretty interesting list, bizarre list, but only a dozen players who are over 6'8 to shoot 40% or better. That's a pretty weird stat, but kind of a cool stat. So it's good. Hopefully Otto Porter stays as hot as he was in the 15 games he played for the Bulls last year. Anything else? Markkanen and Thaddeus Young, both on SI's list as well. Are you okay with both of those guys' rankings? Find it a little bit too high, too low for Markkanen or Young?
Well, I mean, maybe some of it is his, his well-rounded play and how highly he is respected across the league. You know, people said that, it was no secret that the Pacers were devastated to lose him, but couldn't afford to keep him with this nice offer that the Bulls gave Thaddeus Young. I did think, I was a little bit surprised to see how high he was ranked on that list, and especially given what we are expecting of him. We know that he's been a perennial starter the last handful of years in the league and has been so on some pretty decent teams. And he's coming in here and being asked to be a veteran leader who is going to get most of his minutes, assuming a healthy roster coming off the bench. And he's probably going to take a hit on his minutes per game compared to seasons most recently with Indiana and a couple other teams. So I think I was a little surprised to see him ranked that highly. And I was also, just based on production as opposed to projection, a little surprised to see Lowry ahead of Zach. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Maybe that's just a pure fact of the scoring, and Lauri Markkanen can play a little bit better defense than Zach LaVine's apparent, according to SI, his apparent zero defense. So I guess Markkanen doesn't seem like as big of a hole as SI thinks that Zach LaVine is. But I find it kind of weird. I'm okay with where Markkanen is at 75. I still think there's plenty of room to grow there. With Thaddeus Young, though, the one thing that I really loved from SI, what they said was on defense, check that. He said Young himself has some of the best hands in the business and a knack for finding his way into the thick of things. On defense, that manifests into a steal rate that's rare among bigs. On offense, Young's nose for the action leads him to all sorts of makeshift scoring opportunities. So little things like that. Thaddeus Young is the definition of a glue guy. And so I think this was a perfect signing. We said it when they signed him in July, but this is a perfect signing. I think Bulls fans are going to be really, really happy with Thaddeus
Young.
And
I think the defensive contributions, you might not see it, and it might not be so, you know, in your face obvious on a regular night-to-night basis, but I think the Bulls are going to ask him to guard a lot of the best bigs, especially in the Eastern Conference, these teams that they're playing several times a year. You know, whether that be Joel Embiid or Blake Griffin with Detroit or whoever, I mean, if you looked at some of the players who had the most success slowing down players like that, and Embiid in particular, Thad Young gave Joel Embiid fits when the Pacers and Sixers played each other last year. And I'm sure that was, you know, not just a coincidence when the Bulls were looking at Thad Young and looking to add him to this roster. He can get you points in a few different ways, and he's certainly a better post player than anybody else the Bulls had on the roster last year. But the defensive contributions are going to be big as well, because for a guy his size, he can guard a lot of positions, and he can guard centers if he has to, and I think the Bulls are going to ask him to do that at times.
I'm with you on that. This is getting me very, very excited for the season. Just to hear kind of some of these guys to talk at Media Day, it's going to be a whole... I guess it won't be different from what it was last year, but the tone over the first couple of months, knock on wood, hopefully is a lot better. But I think Bulls fans should be excited just a week away. Seeing these rankings as well makes me a little bit more excited, as the watchability of the Bulls this year will be way higher, hopefully, way higher than it was last year. But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop us your voicemails, your text messages. You guys want to get in on this conversation, SI, ESPN's top 100 list. Do you think that any of the Bulls that were a part of these lists, do you think they're adequately ranked, underrated, overrated? You guys tell us. We'll read all of those, play all of your voicemails on Wednesday's episode. We do that every single Wednesday for people who are new to the show. But so you can drop those at 331-979-1369. You can always tweet at us at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com